Fantastic to be able to do that. I really appreciate Nick giving us these opportunities to have these conversations with each other, and to focus on those questions, because one, there adds a bit of accountability to it, and two, it shows us that we need to start acting towards what we hear and responding to it. So I really appreciate it, Nick. All the stuff. I really love the series. It's been really challenging. Fill you in a little bit what's been going on in my life. I just love sitting now and being one of the gang. It's really cool. The pier has always been our family first, so it's awesome. Being a family, taking on different roles. As some of you know, I really appreciated that email, that prayer. Heavily involved with the police and support there. I also work down at the courts now, which is interesting. And really appreciate it. You know, part of who we are as the pier is we're not about where we're at. It's about who we are and about following Jesus. And wherever you're on this faith journey, we always say this, you're part of our family. And to say that, we can't be exclusive, right? So it's not just people who are here, people on the outside, and from every demographic. And walking in faith means we walk with you, we support with you, we have your back, which means we love you, but also sometimes we're willing to have those hard conversations, or even be part of the correction that you need in your life. And it's important for us as people of faith that we engage with every demographic of people in need, but sometimes for people who need actually just some correction in their life. We need to have that voice, and really appreciate your prayers that way as we minister to people. And I want to say this too, which is really neat, is that there are some people that, let's just say, I meet on a weekly basis, who can't be here this morning, but they watch us faithfully every week. So I'm giving them a shout out because I told them I would. And just doing that for them. But also want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you that every aspect of life, this movement, this living as Christ, I will say it right off the top. Nick says these words, it's kind of a theme word, is that movement with Jesus, or the Jesus movement, is personal transformation, it's human revolution, and it's global restoration. Those are three all-encompassing words. Kind of, it's a phrase that kind of encompasses everything, and it's pretty powerful. What if Jesus actually meant what he said? What if personal transformation, human revolution, and global restoration can be a reality? What if it already is, but we need to engage in it? And I want us to talk about this today as well. Now, it's interesting because faith has never changed, but cultural context has. Our understanding, how we process information, has changed. And in 2018, we have more information and more creativity than ever before. And we are inundated with images that we've never been before, and some more casual than others. But I have an example for you just of our culture. And I think you guys have seen this. It'll seem random. I'm going to set up the video for you. But just to understand the context that we live in, that the things that we think are impossible sometimes seem somewhat probable.
This is how I hitchhike.
Did you catch that? Now, believe it or not, that was Nick. I'm just kidding. But believe it or not, I think Nick has done things like that. So when Nick says he's excited, he actually is. His exterior just needs to catch up a little quicker to the interior of his passion. No. Today, I want to talk about keeping it real, because we see that video, and the reason I talk about our context in 2018 is this. We have more information than ever before. We're creative. But as much as we have, as much as we experience, as much technology is out there, what we really crave for is being genuine and real. Spoiler alert, that wasn't real. But the person who did the video was pretty creative when they did it. And I find that more and more we're hearing these words in our culture saying, I want things to be real. I want things to be authentic. And think about it. We are inundated with some of the most creative advertising, aren't we? And we might respond to it. You know, I don't know if Coke really did nail the zero sugar thing, but you know what I'm saying? We're inundated with all of these different products, and we'll respond to them. But what are the ones that we respond to better? It's the ones that we personally experience for ourselves. I've never seen people more passionate about things than things that you've experienced that have actually worked. Take, for example, with me. My kids, when they were teenagers, they want me to buy them these $15 pair of socks called Stance. And I was like, I am not paying 15 bucks for socks. And they would say, Dad, they are the most comfortable socks in the world. And I'm saying, no sock is that comfortable. Let me tell you something. I've got 10 pair. I put those babies on. They are the most comfortable things on my feet. The advertising there, and I'm passionate about it. People say, I want to buy some new socks. I'm like, listen, you got to buy Stance. I bought them. They're amazing. When you go on trips, Expedia, Travelocity, Trivago, all of these different travel sites, they are creative. They have beautiful pages. But what are the things that you go to the most? What is part of all that advertisement? What do you gravitate towards? You go towards the personal testimonies. It's those reviews that you click. It doesn't matter how good that picture looks like on Expedia. If that person said it was a 2 because that soap smelled like vanilla, you're going to listen to their personal experience. It's amazing that as advanced as our society has gotten, there is this stronger and stronger longing within us to experience what is real, for things to be real and authentic. Because unless it changes my life and touches and feels it, it's just another piece of information. And I find myself wanting, and I find myself empty. And the reason I bring it today is because we want to talk about faith and keeping it real. In my entire lifetime, and a ministry of over 28 years now, which I know I don't look that old at all, the one thing I hear consistently for people is, I want faith to be real. I don't know if it's real. It's not real to me. It's not about information. It's not even about belief. People struggle with wanting faith to be real. And I want to ask this question, and I'm going to ask it along because it's going to be one of the discussion questions, but I'm going to ask it throughout our time this morning, and it's this. One, do you ever long for your faith to be real? Do you want your faith to be real? And two, what decisions or choices do you need to make this week to engage in your faith, to experience it, to make it feel real? Because the biggest thing about movement in Jesus is moving with Jesus. And the biggest thing for us is to keep it real. Now, you know how I said earlier that walking in faith is about those beautiful, encouraging conversations, and sometimes the most important conversations we need to have as well are those really tough ones. And so today there's going to be some tough conversation. But I want you to know something. We're walking in grace and love, and it's not about judgment, but it's about every one of us being able to receive these beautiful words, personal transformation, human revolution, and global restoration. It's a reality today, but there's a conversation we need to have today, our part, and how that can become real for you and me. Tim, 2 weeks ago, made this comment about the parables. And he said that Jesus always talks about parables, and he does. And this summer, I think all of us who are speaking are going to be sharing in a parable. And everyone gets to share these beautiful, well-worded, encouraging, passionate parables of Jesus. And today, well, let's just put it this way. The parable I'm going to share with you today is one that actually thinned out the crowd. I'm going to set it up a bit. Jesus is walking, people are following, and Jesus starts to have a conversation with them, saying, just because you're religious doesn't necessarily mean you're part of my kingdom. And he starts to share a parable about being at a dinner table, and everybody made an excuse not to come who were invited. So Jesus said to his servants, go out into the highways and byways. I want you to go out and invite everybody. And what a beautiful parable it was. It was a story of Jesus saying, listen, this personal transformation, this human revolution, this global restoration that I have for you is available to everybody. And all of you who have been marginalized and told you you're not good enough or you've done all the wrong things and you think you're excluded, you're not, you're invited. That it doesn't matter where you come from or what you've done, anybody who's willing to come to my table can come, but it's about you coming. And as you can tell, thousands of people are following because that is what Jesus has done for us. In a very physical, tangible, and real sense, coming to earth, dying on the cross, rising again, defeating sin and death, that was all very physically done. Jesus has been real to us. And then as he sees everybody following, knowing that they want this, then Jesus says these words. This is Luke chapter 14. One day, crowds are following. People were walking. Jesus turned. I kind of already said that, but I'm just repeating myself. And then he says this. Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even oneself, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. Is there anyone here who planning to build a new house doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you could complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish. Or can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it is possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Salt is excellent, but if the salt goes flat, it's useless, good for nothing. Are you listening to this? Are you really listening? It's interesting over the years, as you can tell, not many people preach from this passage and parable. In fact, I've heard a lot of people say that it doesn't belong in the Bible, that I've heard a lot of people argue that this isn't consistent with Jesus' nature, so maybe it was just Luke when he's writing it having a bad day. People try to ignore it. They say it seems actually contradictory to those other terms. How could Jesus be so inclusive? And then say something that seems so exclusive. The truth is, though, as we start to wrestle with these words that Jesus says, we come to a point that we really, really desperately need to hear today. And it's these words. Jesus has already created a reality called faith in Christ. A reality that ensures personal transformation, human revolution, and global restoration. But it's not an aspect to life. Faith in Christ isn't an amplifier to our life. It is a life in existence all on its own. And Christ has made it real, but for it to be real for you and I, we have to choose it. And we have to choose it over the life that we have. For the people who heard those words, many, that's where their journey with Jesus ended. And for a lot of us today in faith, this is where we find ourselves standing. We find ourselves standing in this moment. We find ourselves standing in this moment of longing to want to have personal transformation, human revolution, and global restoration. We want so much for this to be real in our lives and tangible, that we could taste it and feel it and know it. But we struggle with the cost and what it asks of us. Because it does have a cost. Faith does. It's choosing a life apart from my own. And this is the reality conversation I want to have with you today. Because I want to ask the question again. Do you desire for your faith in Jesus to be real? Not just to know it and know of it and celebrate it, for it to be real. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what choice do I need to make this week, even starting this week, to engage in it? Because if there's one thing that we have to remember as human beings, which applies to faith, and is this: what you spend time experiencing is what you will experience. What you are about is what you're about. What you pursue is where you're going to land. That's just reality. That's being real. And that applies to faith. That for us today, if we want faith to be real in us, it's those choices that we make of what we're willing to engage in. The choices we make of the cost and the value and the sacrifice and the choices we'll have to make to that sacrifice. And also the direction and the destiny we need to get to. If you forget everything I'm about to say today, it's important that we remember this one thing. Real faith is a movement in Jesus. And for us to be in that movement, we need to choose to be able to be moved. Real faith is a movement in Jesus. But in order for me to experience that movement in Jesus, I have to choose to be moved. And there's three things that I want us to look at today, very practically. If we're asking about, okay, well, John, what does it mean then, those choices I need to make this week to engage in Jesus, to make that seem real? The first is this, is that real faith is Jesus first. This translation was being very gracious to the ears. The literal English translation that Jesus says is, he says, unless you hate mother, brother, father, compared to me, you can't be my disciple. That's harsh. And it's harsh because, and I know why the translation did this, because we actually don't have a good English word for the Greek word. The Greek word is actually missio, and it doesn't mean like hate as in loathe or angry as we understand in our English language. It means to love less. Basically, what Jesus was saying is, compared to all the important things and relationships in your life, they need to be of less value to you than I am. That I need to be more to you than anything else in your life. And that is a challenge for those people of the day and for us today. Because we love the idea that Jesus will be my comfort and my healer, and he is. That Jesus will be my God and he is. That God will bless me, and he will. But we love the things Jesus does for us, but that doesn't necessarily mean that my faith is real and I'm engaging in the faith. I'm being affected by it, but I'm not engaged in it. And really, to have a faith, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, is first and foremost to know that the cost is that in all things, Jesus is first. Nick said these words last week, and he repeated them this morning. What if Jesus meant what he said? I want you to think about that. Because Jesus said, seek me first, and my kingdom first. Missio. And then all the other things will be added. So here's some of the tough conversation, and I'm saying it because Christ wants us to engage and our faith to be real. So here's the challenge to it and the cost. It means Those relationships is sometimes all we engage with is Jesus to say, could you make my relationship better? And Jesus says, you know how it'll be better? Make me your most important relationship. That's a tough one. God, will you enhance the success of my life? And Jesus says, I want you to follow me, put me first, follow my words, and you'll find purpose. And that might mean sacrificing your own plans. Money. We make fun of the people in the Old Testament about idols. How can you worship a piece of golden statue? We worship a plastic piece of paper. And the reason I say we worship it, because if there's one thing that'll thin out a crowd in a church, is when the minister starts talking about money. Because we don't want to sacrifice that. It's funny, in the Old Testament, Jesus just said, I need to know that I'm more important to you than your money. He asked them for 10%. It's a token bit. I mean, 10% is nothing. We spend more than 10% sometimes going out to eat in a month. But it's more of Jesus said, this is a way of you showing me that I'm more important to you than your money. The reason why he gives us our resources to invest in people, not in ourselves, and to invest in his kingdom. And that becomes such a challenge to us as believers. But if we don't put Jesus in first in front of our money, then we've just said that my money is more of a Lord than Jesus is. You see, Jesus is not our butler. Jesus is not our magician. And he's not our comforter. Jesus is Lord. And for faith to be real, it starts with us making Jesus Lord. And primary relationship, primary with the giftings he's given me, primary in the resources he's given me, primary in the abilities and the purposes for my life. Because this faith in Jesus Christ isn't an amplifier of mine. It's a separate life on its own that I need to choose to make number one and engage in it. It's tough. But that's how faith becomes real. Jesus says about carrying the cross, and a lot of times we interpret this as suffering for Jesus, and that might be part of it, but I want you to understand the real context of this phrase. This phrase, carrying the cross, is a phrase that people understood when they were under Roman occupation. You see, when people were going to be crucified on a cross in Rome, under Roman occupation, the reason why the Romans made them carry the cross wasn't necessarily to humiliate them. It was a sign and a declaration as they were going to their death sentence that they agreed with the sentence and that they were guilty and that the Romans were right. That was the whole part of carrying their cross. And Jesus uses that analogy to us in faith in saying, basically, for Jesus to be first in our lives, we need to identify with Jesus. That Jesus becomes first in everything that we do, which leads to the second point. And that is that for faith to be real, Jesus not only needs to be first, but also this faith of Jesus is something for us to strive for. I've heard this from Brian Root, who, by the way, has been an amazing contractor, and I know loves have gifts. He's fantastic, and we had an opportunity to work together, and he never fired me. And he just said that he would charge me more. But it was the whole thing of, you work with cheap materials, you get a cheap product. Measure twice, cut once, use the right stuff, you get it's good. You know what I mean? It's better to do things right and use the best, and the outcome will be the best. Your home is only going to be as good as its weakest link. And that's the same with life. And that's exactly the same as faith. That so many times we wait for Jesus to make faith real. Jesus already has. I don't think there's anything more that God can do to make faith more real than it is. He's conquered sin and death. Come on. He created eternity. But we will only experience much and engage in faith. It'll only be as real as what we're willing to put into it and to strive for. And last week, Timothy shared about not last week, 2 weeks ago, sorry, and one of his, about the seeds being sown, the seeds fell upon a path. And because the path was so well traveled, and it was hard as rock, and there was no work put into it to make it receiving soil, so basically, the bird snatched it up, and the wind could have blown it away. It never took any effect. Talking about faith, talking about our hearts, talking about our lives. And then Timothy said these words. He said that in order to follow Jesus, we need to walk as Jesus does. And we need to do what Jesus does. And this ties into that example of the cross, of carrying one's cross. That what we mean to strive for is that in every decision that we make in our lives, we say, I want to do this the way Jesus would do it. I want to take every opportunity to live as Jesus and do as Jesus does. And there's a cost to that. Because not everything in my life, when I am faced with it, many times I want to do what I want to do. And I got to make that choice to do what Jesus does. I want to live for me. Jesus says, I want you to love others. I want to invest in my life. Jesus says, I want you to invest in those lives. I want people to protect me. Jesus says, love your enemies. I want my faith to be clean and pure. And Jesus says, I'm calling you to be messy. The more you strive to live as Jesus, to know Jesus, to engage as Jesus, the more real faith becomes. Why are we committed as a kneecap in the body of Christ, the pier? Are we so committed to do outreach and evangelism? Why are we doing all these opportunities this summer? For all of us, it's for this reason, for all of us to have an opportunity to start living out our faith. Because faith isn't about us getting together as a group and celebrating and learning. It's about us living and living faith together so that it is real. And so can I encourage you practically as we ask these questions, what choices can I make this week to engage in it? I talked about putting Jesus first. There's going to be some conversations that you need to have with yourself or with others of saying, I need to do this with my giving, to put Jesus first. I need to prioritize my relationship with Jesus over some other relationships that are important to me. But also when it comes to striving, what can I start to engage in my life that will practically minister Christ to others? What can I do to experience what Jesus says when it means to engage and love your neighbor or love your enemy? So there's some practical opportunities we have during the weeks. Sometimes it's events like VBS and RibFest and River Club. Maybe it's going on that prayer walk and stepping out and not your prayers being about you, but being about communities and neighbors and homes that you've never seen before and you don't know who lives inside them, but you pray for them anyways. It's striving for more. And as we strive to live as Christ, as we strive for more, then faith becomes real. Because Jesus has already made the reality of faith a reality. But for it to be real for us, first, Jesus has to be first. Second, our faith has to be something that we all strive for. And I got to say these words. St. Francis of Assisi has this prayer. It's beautiful, and it goes this way. He goes through, God, I'm not asking for love for myself. Help me to love others. I'm not asking for peace. I want peace for others. And then St. Francis says this in his prayer. He says, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. Understanding that concept that striving to live as Christ is when in return our faith becomes real and we experience personal transformation, human revolution, and global restoration become a reality for all of us. But thirdly, this faith that we live, that we want, that that we want to be real, here is one of the biggest challenges. But the Bible's so clear about it, so here it is. It's got to be all in. There's no partial faith. There's no partial living of faith. There's no scorecard in heaven that says, live 60% of your life in faith and the other 40 and you're good because it's a pass. I remember working with a guy 30 years ago who said, John, church is church and business is business. And I'm not singling him out because we all do it. We create a faith and a theology that fits our lives smoothly. But faith was never meant to fit my life smoothly. It was supposed to replace it. Oh man, I could go on a tangent and I'm not going to. But you know where I'm heading with this. This is where the illustrations of the tower and the king come in with Jesus. He said, you know, you can't start to build a house, build the foundation and walk away from it. All of us know that if all you did is build a foundation, not only is it not a house, it actually probably brings your property value down because you're stuck with this foundation that's useless. Talked about the king. What a foolish, foolish, foolish king a king would be to risk everything in people's lives without first counting the cost and realizing it's all about total commitment. And if you can't totally commit, then what decisions are you going to make in order to for self-preservation? Last week, Graydon Baker shared, and if you were here, there's one thing you could say about Graydon. He's a passionate fella. He's excited. I love Graydon, and we've had a few conversations just over the last year or so. And one of the things that always stuck out to me is this, is we're talking about, you know, he took his entire family living on the mission field and basically said this, the reason why they did and they upped and moved and did that and not by extension is because he said, faith isn't part-time, it's all-time. And he's right on about that. Actually, Jesus is very clear about it. So, here's some strong language, and it's not mine, it's Jesus, okay? In case you're going, well, John, that's not too fair, you know? Jesus just appreciates for the effort. Jesus uses kinder words here saying, saltiness that basically gets diluted isn't salty anymore. Watered down faith, compromised faith doesn't go anywhere. There's some stronger language. It's actually Jesus' words in Revelation chapter 3. It's the only time we see that Jesus actually, the word actually in the Greek is vomit and want to vomit, is when people are lukewarm. It's the only time you see it in the Bible of Jesus talking about nausea and actually wanting to be sick is when people live a compromised faith. They're not all in. He said, you're lukewarm. You're not hot or cold. The New Testament writers, actually, I hear a lot of people talk about Antichrist and what that means. Actually, they use the term Antichrist for a faith that is half and half. Half truth and then half humanity, half life. And the two trying to dilute or distort the message of Christ by compromising it. So there's the hard language, and the hard language is, what if Jesus really meant what he said? And the reason why it's important for us to have it is not to beat ourselves up over it, but to understand the significant reality. And the significant reality is, I think a lot of times we struggle with faith being real to us because we're not willing to be real to ourselves and real to faith, and we compromise it. And as we compromise it, we experience what Christ experiences. I have so many people come to me saying, John, I don't know, just it doesn't feel real. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel genuine. And it's because they're drinking the same lukewarm water. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. It shouldn't feel that way to you because it makes Jesus sick too. That this faith that Jesus has given us is a faith of personal Transformation, human revolution, global restoration. What an amazing thought. It's there. But in order for it to be real for us, we need to be real in faith. So today I want to ask this question. Do you long for your faith to feel real today? I want to encourage you that it is real and that it's not, it's quite easy to attain it to be real. The challenge is the cost. And the second question is, if you want it to be real today, then what choice or choices do you need to make this week? Just starting this week, maybe one choice at a time, to allow yourself to engage in it more, for it to be real in that part of your life, to leave this life and start taking steps towards this one. And today, if you're sitting in a place of doubt, I want to encourage you, that's not a bad place to be, as long as you realize what the doubt is about. The doubt is created by where you're at, not by where Jesus is at, but where you're at. And let it be an inspiration and a motivator to where Christ is calling you to be. Now, I get after Nick all the time, I do, for quotes from people that nobody knows about. But I'm going to give you one. Because when I was in school, there's a writer, his name's Fyodor Dostoevsky. You won't recognize the name, but you might understand some of his works, Crime and Punishment, Brothers Karamazov, The Grand Inquisitor, The Idiot. He was a great Russian philosopher that everybody followed, and also a great Russian philosopher who spent time in prison in Siberia as well, but someone who was very honest and vulnerable about their faith. And a lot of people look to for direction, this strong person of faith. And Dostoevsky says these words. He says, "It's not as a child that I believe and confess Jesus." He said, "My Hosanna is of a furnace of doubts." It's that moment of doubt where I start to realize in myself that I'm really doubting about where I'm at. And I'm willing only in that moment to embrace where Christ has called me to be. And Tim's going to come and he's going to lead us in a course that we've been, it's kind of been a theme course that we've been in this series about building my life. And I want us to take some moments this morning to, one, to let hope start to birth in your heart. That today, if you're feeling those moments that faith has never been real to you and it's causing you a lot of anxiety, you're thinking, maybe faith doesn't fit for me. Can I encourage you of the reality of faith that Christ has already created for you? That those two parables do go together, that Jesus has invited you to a table and it's for everyone to come. But that Jesus' challenge for you today is, maybe if you're in that place of doubt, it's more to do with where you're at, not where Jesus is. And this practical call to put Jesus first. This practical call to start making choices in your life week to week to strive for this faith. To make choices where you have to sacrifice your will for what Christ wants. My identity for who Jesus is. My desires for more of who Jesus is. To carry my cross, the cross of Jesus, rather than my banner of my life. And the reason I say that with you, because in the same breath that Jesus shares about saying, "I can't handle compromise," I want to encourage you with this. Go ahead, Tim. Jesus shares these words. "Look at me. I stand at the door and I'm knocking." He's talking to people of faith now. "If you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father." That's my gift to the conquerors. You know where the conquerors are? Those who make faith real and live it instead of their own. Are your ears awake? then listen. Let's stand together. Let's pray. And as Tim leads us, let's get real with God. If you need someone to pray with you, I want you to step out in an aisle. I want you to come forward. We want to rally around and pray with you. If there's things in your life that you know are God in your life instead of Jesus, and you need to surrender them, we want to pray with you. We want to support you. But right now, let me just pray, and let's dedicate this moment. Dear Heavenly Father, the first thing I want to do is thank you. Thank you for not just coming to support the life that we have. Thank you for not just being healing and a mender. I thank you, God, that instead you've come and given us a life apart from our own. One that isn't in pieces and fragmented, but is whole and is complete, has defeated sin and death and destruction, and is an invitation to every single one of us. God, thank you for faith. Thank you, Lord, for making it real, by making it real to you, by sacrificing every part of who you are for it. And Lord, as return as your people, we value it, we separate it. But Lord, first we want to pray forgiveness. Because although we appreciate your life of faith, many times we still sit on the outside. Father, today we come to you because we need this faith to be real. Would you give us the courage today to sacrifice and surrender what we need to surrender? Would you give us the passion today to strive for more and never be satisfied for where we are at in our faith? And Lord, will you give us the capacity to be all in? Lord Jesus, as we worship you and celebrate you, Spirit of God, speak into our hearts and have your way, I pray.